Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Rainmakers program for litigators. And I want to just ask you all a question. Is anyone here confused by social media marketing and what it means? And I'm assuming most of us are. As a rainmaker, and I think you all know this, word of mouth or referral marketing is still your best channel or your best avenue to find new clients. But none of us can really afford to ignore new marketing channels, new opportunities that come along. Just like when your website was first sort of developing, many of us stayed back and waited. But now it's really a must. We have to have at least a brochure-level website, and quite frankly, some of us have to venture into the internet-level marketing of that. But for most of us, we can't ignore this, and I will say that even though we can't ignore these new opportunities like social media marketing, we have to continue to implement the basic, the fundamentals around word of mouth. So what does that mean? We still have to make sure we're targeting. We know who our targeted referral sources are. We know who our targeted clients are. We're getting better at understanding the demographics. We're getting better at understanding the psychographics. We still have to develop scripts and conversations that build trust and rapport with our referral sources. And we still have to stay in contact a minimum of 3 times a week, utilizing activities that are consistent with your personality, with your hobbies, your interests. So, and we still need to continue to develop the 21 assets and the 5 marketing habits. But at the same time, I think everyone's in agreement, we've got to stay on the edge, we've got to check these things out. And so that's what we're going to do today. So first, let me welcome Sean McNallis.
Hi,
Sean.
There. Hi there.
And I think most people know Sean. Sean is, if not the top practice advisor in the country, she's one of the top coaches in the country. I'd be hard-pressed to think of someone that's better than Sean. And I'm always fortunate to have her on these calls because she adds some very basic, fundamental, real-world, practical stuff to the call. She's on the ground working with high-level attorneys, so she sees a lot of this. And let me set the context for this conversation. We are going to talk about social media marketing. And when we finish, we'll open it up to questions. I might call on a few of you. And we have some questions that you've emailed in to one of your assistants, the Rainmaker assistant, resource assistants. And we'll address those along the way. So, but what I want to do on this call is make sure that you leave here with an understanding of what is social media marketing. What are the upsides, the downsides of this new marketing channel? And whether it's something that you as an individual want to experiment with right now. Because it's not necessarily going to be for everyone. So, it's not one of our marketing assets, but I think it's important that we explore it. And Sean and I will engage in this issue as we go through here now. So, Sean, let me start with a question.
Okay.
If you had to describe for the listeners on this call what social media marketing is, how would you describe it in sort of a basic terms?
Well, let me give you this analogy. Social media marketing is like a cocktail party. It's like a cocktail party in on the internet that's going 24/7, and there's people conversing, chatting away in various different formats. But I think if you think of social media marketing as a cocktail party, you can join at any time, step in and step out of it at any time. That's one way to look at how to engage with social media. And the one point I'd like to make is if you know how to behave at a cocktail party, you'll know how to behave online while engaging with other participants that have profiles on this various different media. So let's take Twitter and Facebook, for example. On both of these sites, as well as LinkedIn, you would have a profile page. This is sort of, you know, the page that profiles you both personally and professionally. Though for most of you, I'd have an open professional page and maybe more of a closed personal page. You're able to set your privacy and access controls at a level that you'd like. And
so, Sean, let me just stop for a second because
sure.
some people may not know. So we're talking it's like a cocktail party in the sense that there's little conversations going on 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these are serious conversations about serious issues. Some of these are talking about fart jokes. They're all over the place.
Exactly. The full range of conversations is taking place. People are engaging at all different levels. As you said, serious and silly. People are talking about substantive legal matters. Some people are reaching out and asking questions. Other people are developing rapport and relationship. Any kind of conversation that might be taking place at a party you would go to is going to be taking place online, though
and
in shorter, you know, bits and pieces.
And these cocktail parties, entry into them is done through different avenues, through Facebook, and most people have heard of these, LinkedIn, Facebook, Avvo, these sort of things. And
exactly. And sort of
so
your
basic grounding
on these in these sites is your profile page, which generally features a picture of you and then information about your background, personal and professional.
Okay. And so it's a profile that I can dictate who gets on and who doesn't see it, and I can separate my profile so I have a professional view that is more open and then a private one where I might not want a lot of people to see things that's very restricted.
Yeah, you can limit the access to your private. A lot of people want to have a Facebook page in order to interact with family and closer friends, and they can restrict access to that so that their clients can't necessarily click on their personal life and see their latest pictures of their vacation. Now, some people are very comfortable with that. There are business people that are very comfortable and are an open book both personally and professionally. You can set those privacy controls, and you can control who has what kind of access to you.
So I've heard you say this before, but you've put a caveat, and I just want to ask you about that. You've said that certainly if we know how to act at a social, physical gathering, a live gathering of people at a cocktail party, we'd want to use the same decorum when we're with others. So, but you've said something that was sort of ominous, not ominous, but something to remember about that.
In the past, I've said it's like a cocktail party with a recorder running in the corner. Because everything, and there's been some issues that have arisen around this, the fact that everything that, you know, you engage in online is pretty much in writing, and it is discoverable. Others can trace conversations, can follow comments, and some attorneys have found themselves, and especially the younger attorneys who may have been raised using social media and maybe just use it slightly more unconsciously. A lot of law firms are finding that they need to develop very specific policies for their associates and partners as to what is said online. Because, for example, confidentiality could be compromised if an associate makes a comment on Twitter about somebody that they may be working with or reveal something about a case, may say something that reflects poorly on their law firm, an associate within the firm, or somebody that they're working with in the firm, you know, just sort of in passing conversation to them. But this is all stuff that can come back to haunt them and reflect poorly on the firm. So just know that anything that, you know, any conversation you engage in, it's discoverable. It can be traced, and people just want to be careful about that.
So the rule is don't say anything that you wouldn't want repeated, and don't say anything that you would want someone to pull up later on. And so that's sort of the policy. If we were looking at a policy for our younger associates and for ourselves, is to remind them that I don't want you to say anything that would embarrass you or embarrass the firm or violate ethical rules. By the way, I don't remember where I read this, but I just read that there's an attorney that, because he's an attorney is an officer of the court, was just brought up on a complaint, a bar complaint, because of the things they were saying. almost slanderous on their Twitter or Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is, there's a sort of bars are now looking at what we're saying, and not just from marketing, but from as an officer of the court, are you communicating effectively? Sean, all of that is sort of a basic. So you would say that this is like a cocktail party, and we just have to choose the parties we go to, and what we be careful of what we say, but make sure we're connecting.
And also be sure that you connect before you develop anything, develop a further business relationship. Aim for developing a little bit of rapport before you develop the business relationship. Just as you might at a cocktail party, get to know somebody a little bit before you start telling them about your business. You don't want to take a salesy approach at all on any of your social networking sites. You can be subtly self-promotional, but don't be blatantly self-promotional. Use it as an opportunity to meet people. I mean, this is one of the biggest advantages that I see of social media networking. You have access and entree to people without a third-party introduction, more so than you do in various other channels involved in marketing. You can follow people that are in your field who you may not necessarily have gotten an introduction to because of their geographical location or their status. You can follow them on Twitter, for example. You can initiate conversations by meeting them through Facebook or LinkedIn. You can initiate, and half of marketing is the initiation. I mean, we were just talking with Russ earlier. And, you know, he's got two or three marketing assistants out there initiating things, setting things up for him, you know, breakfast, lunches, coffees, teas, whatever it is that he's doing, different events. Half the battle with marketing is the initiation phase. And social media networking, if somebody's got an open business profile and they show all of their contacts, if you want to meet somebody, you can either initiate contact with them directly, or you can see if you know anybody in their list of contacts who could then provide a third-party introduction, either in person or online. So social media networking has aspects of it that are like contact management software on steroids, because basically you can see if a person's got an open profile and you can see their business contacts, you can see their entire network. And as I've said, you know, each of us have our top 20. And our top 20, each of our top 20 has their top 20. So you are connected by one or two degrees of separation to a lot of people. Social media networking allows you to see those people and see who's connected to who and interact. It just provides another channel to interact with people. It's not so much for direct solicitation of business. I don't recommend that you see that. Just as at many cocktail parties you would attend on a professional level, you're much more likely, not necessarily in the case of a matrimonial firm, but you're much more likely to be introduced to potential referral sources. Those are usually in greater numbers at a party than necessarily potential clients. And the same with social media networking. It's a means to connect with other potential referral sources, not as much clients. It's less developed for putting clients and attorneys together, unless you're talking specifically like about a site like Avvo, which is coming on strong, but it's not yet the first place a client will go when searching for an attorney.
And I think that's an important point, John, because at a cocktail party, we might meet someone that is either a potential referral source or a potential client, and we're not going to jump right in and try to close them there. We're just going to open the door to create additional relationship and create more face-to-face, where possible, contact out of this sort of cocktail party. Sean, let me ask you a question.
Well, and can I say, just based on what you were just saying there, nothing overrides the power of face-to-face communication and contact when you're trying to develop rapport with a potential referral source or even a client. we have what we call the hierarchy of effectiveness. And at the very top of, in terms of effectiveness, it's face-to-face contact. You can't beat it. For a referral source to trust you, for a client to begin to trust you, they're going to want to see you face-to-face. Now, obviously, we all conduct business in a virtual environment these days, and our standards for having to meet people face-to-face are becoming less and less. But for really significant relationships, you're going to develop rapport mostly in person, secondarily on the telephone, perhaps through email and continued contact through social media sites. But whereas you might, you know, meet somebody, be introduced to somebody online, often people are setting up second and third conversations to meet in person or to connect on the telephone, or they're connecting at conferences. There's a lot of connecting at conferences. And there's also opportunities where there are Facebook in-person meetings that people can go to. It's not a satisfactory way to do business if you're doing it completely virtually. Most business relationships that start online have to have some element of in-person communication.
Well, Sean, here's one of the bottom line questions for me. You're dealing with a lot of attorneys in the field that are experimenting with these sort of things, and you've talked to a number of people. Is it producing clients for people right now? Are they producing business out of it?
I do have a client that's gotten business off of his website on Avvo. It's been pretty low-level business, but clients have directly contacted him. In the case of Avvo, they proactively post a minimal profile for every attorney in most states that they're in. And for you to activate your profile, you have to go online, claim your profile, then flesh out your profile. And one of the interesting things about Avvo that's also, by the way, still pretty controversial, is that people can come on your Avvo profile and either recommend you or not, or give you a negative recommendation. That sounds pretty close to a testimonial, and there's cases being argued even as we speak as to whether or not that's actually going to be allowed going forward. Presently, it's on this site and it's on other sites, this ability to actually rate an attorney and recommend a professional. So right now, it's happening. My client happens to have a 10 rating. That's just at this point based on the recommendations he's gotten so far. But here's the downside. If it's that easy for somebody to put a positive recommendation on up for you, it's that easy for somebody to put a negative recommendation up for you. And all of you know that whether you are considered a good or a bad attorney, often depends on the person that you're working with and their bias. So, there's both, this cuts both ways.
Yeah, you could win a case because of the facts, and you can lose a case because of the facts, and the client that you win it for is going to love you, the client that you lose for is going to dislike you, so.
Exactly, and now they can go public with those opinions, and that's, it's an interesting new development. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with this eventually. That ability may be taken away or it may persist. We'll see.
Well, let me make a statement about something, Shauna. You correct me or just tear this apart. From my experience, tell me if you think this is correct. There's a lot of people jumping in with their Facebooks. There's people jumping in on LinkedIn, and their friends are connecting them to LinkedIn, and because they're just jumping in because their friend did, and these sort of things. And there's some activity happening now. And right now, there's more activity happening than clients. We don't see across the board. We're not seeing a lot of business come from this avenue yet. But at the same time, this was probably 8 to 10 years ago, the same thing we would have said about websites, is that we don't see a lot of activity, we see activity, but we don't see any business coming from it. And that shifted for a lot of practices. We'd be amazed at how many people are actually pulling business right down from their website. So what I would say from Atticus's perspective, and you correct me, Sean, is that we're not sure yet. how effective this is and going to be in gaining clients. Some of you are actually getting business off of this, but a lot of the reports are pretty random, and we don't have a lot of information to say that this is a brilliant place to start just yet. With that, let me
say, it's not a brilliant place to start. It's a place to be, but I will say that if you choose to be a participant on these sites, it's good to do it seriously. And by that I mean, don't just put up a half-filled out profile and then not, you know, do the networking necessary to link up with many people, say on LinkedIn or Facebook, because it will show how many, it will show the number of contacts you have, the number of friends you have, the number of fans you have, depending on how you have your profile set up. And you don't want to have a half-filled out profile and then show, you know, 10 friends or fans or contacts. You know, if you're going to be on there looking good, or don't be on there at all. Because I think it looks worse to just be on there in kind of a halfway, and you know, that just looks worse to me. It's better to not be on there at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So I want to clear this up for everyone. So you're saying that, you know, at a minimum, by the way, with websites, I said at a minimum, you should have a brochure-level site.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is, at a minimum, if you're not going to take this seriously and you're not going to start building your profile and the number of contacts, at the minimum, it's better not to have a profile right now.
Right. And then do it when you can do it right. Because, like I'm saying, it just looks worse to have it on, you know, to have a profile that's not very robust. You really want to show a robust network, and it takes time. You've got to send out friend requests or fan requests or LinkedIn-type requests, and that takes time to do. It's valuable once you do it to get yourself set up, but, you know, there's a certain investment. Now, some people are doing what they call Facebook Friday, and you could call it LinkedIn Wednesday if you want to, but they're designating one day a week, 1 hour of that day that they will dedicate to their building their profile, working their contacts list, and so that they can get a robust profile going, you know, up. Now, a lot of people are finding that this is these kinds of tasks are delegable. They're using marketing assistants, and the younger marketing assistants are very good at this. They know their way around Facebook way better than most of us do, because they've socialized this way for many years. So, you know, they're ahead of the curve, and if you have a marketing assistant that's pretty savvy in this, they can become your marketing assistant who's at least in part dedicated to your social media networking, and they can, you know, filter friend requests, put together friend requests for you, build your profile based on, you know, what you tell them you want to have up there. You know, they can really do the work so that you don't have to.
Well, let's do this, Sean, because I want to open it up to people in a few minutes, but is there an ups? Can you sort of, would you say there's an upside and a downside for this marketing channel?
You know, the upside, there's opportunities to meet and network with people and build the beginnings of relationships with people that you may not have otherwise had access to. So I give it a thumbs up there, because in the world of marketing, that kind, that level of access and the ability to gain entree, in my book, is pretty important. On the downside, not a lot of direct client contact really yet, not a lot of clients coming out of it. However, the younger your client base is, the more they're going to be looking for attorneys and looking to see attorney recommendations and ratings on sites like Avvo and LinkedIn. So, you know, that's if they're younger, that's going to be a plus for you. So you would probably, if your clients are typically skewing younger, you're going to want to have a presence on probably Facebook and LinkedIn, and all of you probably on this call already have a profile on Avvo, even if you don't realize it, because there's these sort of skeleton profiles posted for most attorneys. And you can check yours out by looking at www.avvo.com. So upside, great access. Downside, another downside would be this can be a whole other area in which people can procrastinate and waste time and be ineffective at marketing because this is another, this is more time spent at your computer. This is all of these, a lot of these communiques will be routed through your email, so your email inbox will swell with a lot of additional communication, people trying to get in touch with you, connecting with you for one reason or another, most of it not, or I should say some of it not always business related. And if it keeps you from being face-to-face with your local community where you can make the biggest impact with your marketing, with your limited marketing time, then it's probably not a good use of your time, especially if your potential clients and potential referral sources and existing referral sources are not communicating online. And in fact, they're more into telephone calls, face-to-face meetings, and email. So it's got an upside and a downside.
I would say this to most people. When I look at this kind of channel, I mean, we've given you some information. And by the way, on the Atticus website, if you go to our graduate network call, because we sent you a CD on this, but it's online as well. There's also a document that will go through a little bit about Facebook, a little bit about LinkedIn, a little bit about Avvo, and a little bit about Twitter. So it gives you some basic information of the fundamentals. But my suggestion is this, when I look at marketing channels, I'm saying, can this particular channel keep me connected to my referrals or my client community, and can I learn something about them? And it has the potential of doing that. Can it help me promote and forward my reputation and the brand? And absolutely it can do that. Can it increase the likelihood of a potential client finding me on my website? Because usually they'll click through off into the website. And the answer to that is yes. But the other thing I would say to everyone else on this call, if you're not doing your existing marketing efforts well, for example, if you've got a blog and you're not doing that, or if you're not maintaining your website, or if you're not doing some of your other marketing activities very well.
Like three contacts a week.
Yeah, more than likely, you're not going to do this well. So if you're doing the other things well, I would say experiment with this. If you're not really working those things and you're not paying attention to them, you may have started them but not done them very much, this is probably going to go the same route. So, again, I would just take a look at a couple of those factors. Sean, I'm going to open it up because I know some people have been using some of these services and going to the cocktail parties, and I'm kind of curious about their perspective. Are you okay if we open it up?
Yeah, let's do.
Mark, are you there? Mark Chin? And you have to press *6, Mark, to unmute.
I think he stepped out for a couple of minutes.
Oh, did he? because Mark asked, Mark Chin jumped into all of this, but he also, he just sent me an email, Sean. He asked me a question. There's an attorney in the Carolinas that has 21,000 followers on his Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing he puts on the Twitter account is some nonsense about where he's eating. And one of Mark's questions was, how did he get so many followers?
You know, there's a relatively infamous blog out there. And I wish I could tell. If I'd have known I was going to be talking about this blog, I would have been able to tell you the author of it. But there's a blog out there. He's written by an attorney who is an early adopter of this new technology, and he has published this list of like 100 or 125 attorneys to follow on Twitter. And he gives various different reasons for following these people, some because they're funny, some because they're plugged in, some because they're sort of the thought leaders in their field. And it may be that he made it onto this list, because this is like the hot list of attorneys to follow. I don't know that I would personally encourage people to follow the folks that are twittering all day long with nonsense. I personally don't find that a good use of time, and it to me would be a huge distraction. So it may be this guy is somewhat amusing, and he's bringing, you know, it's his lighthearted approach that appeals to his followers.
Well, I know some people have also done charity things. For example, they said, I'm going to play a game in my community. If I can get 10,000 followers on my Twitter account, I'll donate $5,000 to a particular charity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them get publicity through their bar. I've seen them get publicity in their local newspapers. And if all it means is I have to do this, then I've seen them do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is that this guy has 21,000 people. I don't know how many of them are local or not, but it's be kind of interesting to have that kind of people just knowing your name.
And it might be that he's a prolific speaker, and he when he addresses his audiences, he says, you know, please, you know, follow me on Twitter, and then the whole audience signs up. I mean, that's one way to do it in volume.
If Mark, you get there and you want to jump on, just press *6. So let's open it up for questions and comments, things that you've either done or you have questions about this. So press *6 and say your name and question if you have one.
Hey, Mark, it's Russell.
Hey, Russell.
I have a question about Facebook. I see it used a lot. I've been on it myself on a personal level. Don't find it that interesting to be reading about people going to wash their car and do other things, but I was
right.
I've been, you know, toying with the idea of setting up a business Facebook, and I didn't know that you could split, at least what I just heard, you can split your own Facebook personal business, but what your thoughts or any thoughts on setting it up for clients to be able to, you know, just keep up with, you know, kind of like a mini website where clients can not only see things that I'm doing per se, and I don't want to, you know, be on there all the time, but where they can link into other clients and maybe communicate, and then I stop myself from doing that because I'm not sure I want my clients communicating with each other. I just want access to their friends list, because if they can reach me through a friends list, you know, then I'm getting to people I ordinarily wouldn't be able to market to, and I just was wondering any comments on that type of reach-through marketing as opposed to following other lawyers on a, to me, a LinkedIn, which I'm on, is a business site. It's, people use that for finding jobs. I've never seen it used, at least unless I was looking for lawyer-to-lawyer business, which I'm not. I can't see using LinkedIn for my clients to reach me. I don't know the other one.
Look, check out Avvo and see if you have the skeleton profile on there. And you're right about LinkedIn. It's sort of migrating to be, especially with the downturn in the economy, it's really become about a lot of job seekers seeking connections and trying to get hired. So you're right about that. And Facebook, you can do a business profile on Facebook, and there's actually PR companies that specialize in this, but I bet you your marketing assistants could do it for you. You can take the normal photograph, the area dedicated to the photograph in Facebook, which is normally kind of small. You can blow that up into a nice professional-looking picture and have it actually take up a larger space on the page. You can turn off the friends access, and you can have people sign on as fans, and then you can limit who can see your list of fans or not. You know, I don't know if there would be any confidentiality issues about who would want to be considered one of your clients and be public about that and who might not. You'd have to think about that. And then it also has the wall. In Facebook, there is the wall. And That is the, you know, sort of open area upon which people can post comments. And it's like Twitter in that they're usually kind of microblogging type, small, short, brief comments. And these are all posted on your wall. And you can have your wall open for public viewing, and anyone can see anything anybody is saying about you. You can update people on what you're working on or something that you're doing or a conference that you're going to, or you can put a link on there to a new blog you've written or an article you've written. That's useful. And people can read it, and they can comment on it. They can also, you know, they can pretty much say anything that they want to about you on your wall. So if you are going to have your wall, you know, out there, definitely set it up so that every time a comment is posted on your wall for public viewing, that a link is sent to your email account so you can see what's being posted on a real-time basis. You'll definitely want to know. Oh, and I say this because I'm sure 99% of it would be positive or neutral, but, you know, you just don't want negative or insulting comments to make their way onto your wall and you not be able to monitor that situation. But, yes, you can create a business page, and more attorneys are creating a business page on Facebook, so it is doable. And I bet you one of your marketing assistants has got the know-how to do it for you.
Thanks. I wanted to use it where we're getting email addresses from every client, and, you know, I would hook them up. My thought was to actually have them friend me immediately as soon as they became a client.
Mm-hmm. And so that basically all of your past and existing clients would be on view as one of your fans or friends.
I wanted it as a friend where I could then access their friends, you know, and it would give me a chance to send out whether they like it or not. It would give me a chance to friend their friends and would have that information as a common link with kind of a blurb ad.
Mm. Now, you know, that's new, and I don't know if there's any problems with accessing friends of your clients to send them communication. I don't know about that. I know that you can look at the friends as I mentioned earlier, the friends of a potential referral source, and then, you know, get entree to their friends that way directly, but I don't know about going directly through your clients to get to their friends. And, you know, you might test market that idea before you actually do it, because you could inspire some negative feedback.
Well, that's always my concern about allowing anybody to put anything in print that I don't control.
Yeah.
To have anything negative anywhere.
Yeah.
Thanks, Russell. And let me just, I want to check in and see if there's two things. Is Jennifer on the call? Is Jennifer Carroll on the call? If you are, Jennifer, could you unmute for a moment, *6? If Jennifer Carroll is on the call, press *6. Jennifer had a question, and she had emailed a question in. Asking about publishing articles and interested in creating speaking engagements.
Do you want to go ahead and address that anyway, just in case it's useful to anyone else?
I do, and I'd like to address it to Jennifer mostly as well, but if she was here. But I also don't want to step over if other people have questions about the topic at hand.
Okay.
So let me just see if there's, given that Jennifer's not here, I could address this next week if there's still questions about social media marketing. Comments or questions about social media marketing? Press *6 if you have a question. So,
can I say a little bit more about another aspect of Avvo, Mark?
Yeah.
And I have nothing to do with Avvo. I'm just investigating it and learning about it as it's coming online and coming on a little bit stronger. Avvo has an interesting feature, and that is it's really geared to attorneys. And they have these legal guides that they publish as part of their service. And they've established a ranking system based on if a lawyer contributes to their legal guides, writes an article, answers questions, and of course none of your answered questions can be deemed legal advice, and you have to make sure to caveat everything. But if you do provide them with material that they can publish as part of their online archives, and you help them build their archives of legal information, they give you a higher rating. They have a whole, I think it's a 10-point rating system based on the recommendations that you get from clients. They look at whether or not you've had any grievances or complaints. They actively search that as part of their standard profile. And they look at your contributions to their legal online guides. And they give you a rating. And I think the highest rating is a 10 and all the way down to 1. And, you know, this presents a couple of interesting issues, but not that I want to give attorneys more time to sit in front of the computer focused and thinking that that is going to get them, you know, clients in a hurry, because it's not. This is going around the mulberry bush to get clients, but it can be a way of positioning yourself as an expert on AVO. You know, it is a way for an attorney who is very adept at answering legal questions, providing legal material, perhaps somebody who's a really strong writer, perhaps somebody that's a better writer than they are a speaker. This is a way for them to contribute in a way that might be a better fit for their personality, just the way that we would recommend that attorneys who are good writers, you know, formulate their marketing plans around things that highlight what they're good at, which in this case is writing. So this is a way for people to position themselves as credible experts on AVO if they contribute a lot. Now, is this going to, within the week of getting a rating of 10, going to produce a client? No, it's not. It just positions you for this future in case people begin using AVO a lot to look for an attorney. Now, until I see AVO coming across with ads in the mainstream media promoting AVO as a place for clients to find attorneys, until I see that, I'm not convinced that they are going to reach the goals they've set for themselves, which is to be the go-to place for clients to find attorneys and for attorneys to network with other attorneys. I'm not convinced of this yet. But, you know, they've got big goals in this area according to their website. You know, they're attempting to do this. They're not yet there yet, but it is an interesting way of, you know, establishing yourself, establishing a profile, establishing a rating and a ranking for yourself. Let me say one other thing that I've noticed about AVO. When I looked at one of my clients' profiles, he's a mesothelioma attorney. He does not advertise on AVO, but on AVO you can place, just like on Facebook, you can place very targeted, very audience-specific ads on the right-hand side, these small ads that will pop up. And what I noticed when looking at his AVO profile, he's a mesothelioma attorney, an ad for another mesothelioma attorney popped up in the right-hand column. I'm going to tell him about this. I don't know if he's noticed this, but somebody's actually bought the ad space that will show up whenever a mesothelioma attorney is searched. So I wasn't crazy about that. I don't think he knows about it, and I don't think he'll like it when he sees it. And I don't know if you can block your ad, the ad space that's available next to your profile, so competitor doesn't come up. I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm pretty sure this attorney is not going to like seeing a competitor's ad show up next to his profile. So just know that could be another downside should you decide to develop your AVO profile. However, if you decided to advertise on AVO, which I understand is fairly inexpensive, you can also do this on Facebook, you can supposedly get very, as I said, audience-specific ads placed pretty inexpensively on Facebook, and so it might be your ad that shows up when certain keywords, certain types of attorneys are searched. So that's a new area and one that will deserve some additional research. So any more questions, Mark? Any more thoughts about this process?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sean. I had it muted for a minute there. I was talking. I apologize.
That's all right.
No, there, we addressed the questions. I haven't heard anyone jump on with another question. So there's three things that that Sean and I wanted you to pull away from this call. One, that you have a better understanding of what social marketing media is. Secondly, that you have a better understanding of the upsides and the downsides of this marketing channel. And third, whether it's something that you want to experiment with right now. So you should, hopefully we've provided that so you can make those decisions. What I'll leave you with on this is that there's definitely potential here. We don't know its full potential yet, but for many of you, it's worth experimenting with. And I wouldn't be experimenting with this yet if you're not doing some of your basic other marketing activities properly yet. So, again, if you have a website and you're not maintaining it, if you've got a blog and you're not maintaining it, if you've got your natural marketing activities and you're not doing those, your three marketing activities a week, you're probably not going to do this yet. It'll be a good idea, but you won't. So if you engage in it, commit to it. Go full out and make sure you learn more about it. Make sure that you get a marketing assistant that might be able to help you with it. And I think that's the direction we'd give you on that right now. Next month, we're going to be – there's two things that I want to say to you. Next month, we're going to be talking about holiday marketing. Now, that sounds crazy. It's October. Why are we talking about holiday marketing? It's to keep us focused and also to give you some lead time. The time to do holiday marketing is in October, not December. So we have planning. We have things to do. We want to be separated from the park. From the pack. We want to get the most use of our marketing time. So we're going to be talking about that. Secondly, we're launching a special website just for Rainmakers next month. And it's going to have a very cool piece of technology with it. We're going to be using something called a WebOut. And some of you may be familiar with this, but when you go to the website, the first two times you go to the website, it's going to have me walk out from the website onto the screen in front of the website and start talking to you. And it's going to talk to you about certain things, and it's going to break an offer for people coming to the website. Now, you can click it and get rid of it and go to what you need. The second time you go there, you'll see it again. The third time, you won't see it. You'll have to click a button to call it up. So it'll recognize your computer over the number of times you visit it. So I think that's going to be pretty cool technology, and I'll be curious on your feedback. With that, Sean, thank you. Russell, thank you for your contribution, and thanks, everyone, for being on the call. Sean and I both feel very fortunate to be working with you and glad that you're in Rainmakers. We will talk to you later. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.